or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from San Francisco, is the first woman to become Speaker of the U.S. House. Among her first words, a pledge.
I accept this gavel in the spirit of partnership, not partisanship.
She said women have waited for this day for more than 200 years to finally break through the marble ceiling. She sent a message to the president.
It is the responsibility of the president to articulate a new plan for Iraq that makes it clear to the Iraqis that they must defend their own streets and their own security.
And Democrats who took over both houses of Congress went to work on some top priority projects, starting with new limits on lobbyists.
The proposals seek to end the far too cozy connection between lobbyists and members of Congress and restore some of the public trust stretched thin by Republican scandals. It would strengthen the ban on gifts, end the free travel underwritten by lobbyists and all that travel on corporate jets. It also has new disclosure rules designed to stop members from secretly slipping special interest measures into bills without saying who is asking for them or why.
CBS is Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. As with most new Congresses, Americans have told the CBS News polling unit they are upbeat about the coming 2 years. 68% are optimistic generally. As to the specifics,
Americans really couldn't be clearer when we asked about their priority for the new Congress. 45% say that it should be Iraq. However, only 8% think that Democrats have a clear plan for Iraq. 82% think they don't.
Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton says 49% expect the Congress to accomplish more. A couple of changes in the Bush administration. White House counsel Harriet Myers has submitted her resignation. President Bush has accepted it. CBS News has learned the ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, is moving to the U.N., nominated for the ambassadorship there, or soon to be. More tonight on the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric. So you think your mail is secret from even the government? Civil libertarians are saying they sure don't like President Bush's signing statement asserting the government's right to look if they have good reason.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. The assertion by President Bush of the authority to open some U.S. mail without a warrant is contained deep in his written statement on signing the Postal Accountability Act last month. But a spokeswoman calls it no big deal. She says the government has long had the authority for warrantless mail opening in cases where human life and safety may be in jeopardy, such as mail suspected of containing an explosive device.
Could have been a meteor breaking into pieces, or maybe space junk that made streaks of fire in the sky last night over Colorado. Air Force Space Command trying to figure that out. Wall Street, the Dow was up 6 points, NASDAQ gained 30. Oil prices down another $2.73 a barrel. John Kilduff, oil analyst.
The eastern two-thirds of the country are the ones experiencing this tremendous warmth and just a complete lack of winter fuel demand.
The price today, $55.59 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox. Unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, how do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Rear-facing child safety seats don't handle high-speed crashes. It's a new government report.
Though the infant safety seats may meet minimum government safety standards, most do not provide protection in higher-speed crashes like those the government uses in its five-star vehicle crash test.
We only wound up being able to recommend two seats.
Don Mays of Consumer Reports says the Baby Trend Flex Lock and Krako Snug Ride with EPS rated tops, but the overall message to parents is...
Absolutely use a child safety seat. Child safety seats are up to 71% effective at preventing deaths in an auto accident.
John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
You know how some pastries are so rich you can just get a buzz eating one? Well, at a jail on Long Island,
they found a small Ziploc bag containing a green substance which appeared to be marijuana. In addition to that, they found some rolling papers, they found four matches, and a small piece of flint pad used to strike, obviously, the matches.
New York corrections officers have been busted for the pastry pot. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth.
Jerry.
And Samantha.
We can't get to the phone right now because
I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy.
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and...
Sammy.
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside and...
Sammy.
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
More Ovaltine, please.
It's a fine day all across America. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and originating from San Francisco on the left coast. The home district of the new Speaker of the House. Yes, this is the day of the change of the guard on Capitol Hill. And there's a lot of hope in the air. And at the same time, a lot of concern. We're going to cover some of these issues over the next 3 hours. And as usual, you're invited to call in and chat with us. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And your calls and comments are welcome right now. Ordinarily, on Thursdays, we kick off the show with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. But Faz has been out of the country and doesn't return till tomorrow. And his colleagues appear to be partying down with the Democrats in Washington tonight. So if you want to join us and talk about this historic day, your hopes and some of your fears, I welcome your calls right now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, too, peter@peterbcollins.com. Coming up in about a half an hour, Swanee Hunt will join us. She was Bill Clinton's ambassador to Austria and played a key role in brokering the peace in the former Yugoslavia. She's written a book, a memoir of her life. It's called Half-Life of a Zealot. And she's a fascinating woman who came from an arch-conservative family, one of the richest oil families in the world. And her memoir is gripping in many respects because her dad, how can I put it? Well, he had three different families with three different women, one of whom he was married to originally. And when the first wife died, H.L. Hunt married Swanee Hunt's mother and adopted her. And she tells the story without flinching or blinking or asking for your sympathy. And she's gone on to spend her father's fortune in a very positive way. One of the organizations she started is called Women Waging Peace. And we'll talk about that with Swanee Hunt coming up a little bit later this hour. Also, I'm just dying to ask her about the John Birch Society, which her father supported and which we've been talking about over the last couple of days, linked to the late President Gerald Ford and his misguided efforts to impeach Earl Warren, who was Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court at the time.
Also on today's program, Scott Dick in our regular segment. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues, and he has snagged a great guest who we'll be talking to next hour. Joe Galloway has been writing about military affairs for four decades. He's the senior military correspondent and columnist for the McClatchy newspaper chain. And we're going to get his thoughts on the surge and just really the context of Bush's plan to introduce more troops into Iraq, even though every reputable person says there is no military solution to the mess there. And we'll talk about how over the years Bush has said, if the commanders want more troops, I'll send them. Well, now the commanders don't want more troops, and he's going to send them. At least that's the indication we get. And our free speed zone, as usual, in our third and final hour today, we'll be taking lots of your calls. And just maybe, maybe we'll get through to Dick and W. I don't know, but we will do our best. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B. Well, in addition to the change of the guard on Capitol Hill, there are some shuffles underway in the Bush administration. John Negroponte, who has served Bush at the United Nations as ambassador to Baghdad and now as the so-called intelligence czar, is going for a fourth assignment under Bush. And he would become, beneath a lateral move, it's a demotion, he would move over from a cabinet-level post to deputy secretary of state. And Democrats.com is speculating that the reason for this is that Karl Rove is planning to run Condoleezza Rice for president and needs to make it possible for her to vacate the Secretary of State's post sometime next year. I'm not sure about that. It's an interesting theory. But Negroponte will require Senate confirmation for this number two post at the State Department, and it could dig up all of the stuff from the past going back to Central America in the 1980s. So it'll be interesting to see if the newly composed Senate is as willing to rubber stamp the confirmation as the Republican Senates of the past few years have done. And also we hear that Zalmay Khalilzad, who is currently the ambassador to Baghdad, he was over in Kabul, Afghanistan before that. And before that, he was one of the PNAC guys. Yeah. Project for a New American Century. Khalilzad will apparently be Bush's nominee to replace John Bolton as the wrecking ball at the United Nations. So some interesting shuffles going on there in Washington. And one other item before I open up the phone lines here. We learned today that in signing an obscure bill in December related to the U.S. Postal Service, the president once again crossed his fingers. And he inserted a signing statement which asserts his prerogative to open the mail of American citizens without a warrant or other legal legal niceties. And I find this doubly disturbing. If you listen to this program, you know that I don't support the NSA warrantless wiretapping program. The FISA court is right there and has never turned down a significant request for the authority to wiretap. And yet that's what we see going on here. The president saying, I can't take the time to submit to these bureaucratic processes. You've got to let me have unfettered presidential power. And I happen to believe that this could be a turning point. Because a lot of people were passive about the disclosure of the NSA wiretaps. They believed pretty much what the president said, that it's only limited and it's when Al-Qaeda, Osama, calls the United States, we want to know what they're talking about. And we still don't know the full dimensions of the NSA spying program, even though senators who know maybe a little more than us, but not everything, like Dianne Feinstein and Arlen Specter, they have offered to legalize the past transgressions of the Bush administration in terms of electronic eavesdropping. But maybe when people think that their very own U.S. mail may have been intercepted, opened, and checked, maybe that will hit home at the level that people say, I'm not involved in terrorism, I'm not a suspect, and I don't approve of my mail being opened without a realistic and credible legal process. So I'm hopeful that this is one of those things that really creates a tipping point, and that people will see that this is a really incredible power grab by this administration and this president, and that they're not willing to give up their rights for a dubious promise of greater security. So I think that's a very interesting development that has surfaced just in the last 24 hours or so. If you'd like to join me with a comment, I welcome your call right now, 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. One of the items I was going to go over with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress is an item that appeared yesterday in the Daily Progress Report. And if you don't get it, it's real easy to sign up at progressreport.org, and they will send it to you free in your email every day. That's how I get it. But they published the remarkable poll results that were published by Military Times in the last few days. And this is based on a poll of 6,000 active duty U.S. troops in, well, it doesn't say they're in Iraq. So it's 6,000 active duty U.S. military personnel. 38% of the troops polled said the United States should send more troops to Iraq. 39% said that we should either maintain current levels or reduce the number of troops, and 13% of those support complete withdrawal. Only 35% said they approve of the way the president is handling the war. 42% disapprove. Now, this is a stunning shift from just about 2 years ago, when the majority of troops backed the president and the policy. So it's going to be very interesting to see how all this plays out. And it appears that many Republicans, during the hearings that the Democrats have scheduled for the next few weeks on Capitol Hill, will have an opportunity to separate themselves from the administration. Last night on the PBS NewsHour, it was reported that Republicans believe that in the Senate, they only have 12 votes, John McCain and 11 other stalwarts, willing to support an increase in U.S. troop deployments in Iraq. And that's not enough. That is certainly not enough. Now, the president, as the commander-in-chief, can try to jam it through, but ultimately, if he angers this Congress and they get their backs up, they could either limit or actually cut off funding for the military adventure in Iraq. That's the challenge we face here, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Democrats approach this. I was disappointed to read that Carl Levin, the incoming chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee, is saying he could support a surge under certain circumstances. Not the right answer for me. We'll take a break and return. Join me if you'd like to comment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Call me, 888-5 Peter B. Yeah, now he wants to surge.
Who's the man who hired all the criminals? The White House shadows who hide behind closed doors. They bend the facts to fit with their new story.
That's Neil Young, CD earlier last year called Living with War, and that one's called Let's Impeach the President. I know there are a lot of people who would like to see that happen, and I'm one of them. I do believe it's got to be done properly, and it'll be fascinating, I think, over the next few months to see how the various hearings and investigations, particularly those launched by John Conyers and Henry Waxman in the House, to see exactly what they turn up. And to what extent Republicans start to recognize the failures of this administration, and not just their policy failures, but their intentional misleading of the American public and members of Congress. And I don't know where it's all going to go, and I see the goal of impeachment as something worth striving for. Has to be done properly, can't create some opportunity for Republicans to gain a new, fresh target of diversion and distraction. But I am disappointed that Nancy Pelosi has, quote-unquote, taken impeachment off the table, because even if it's only a threat, it could prevent Bush from doing more of the dastardly deeds that we've already got on record. John in Carmel Valley, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Peter, right after your program last night, I'm pretty sure it was on your CBS Hourly News, they reported that Bush is sending the John Stennis, this one of our newest carriers that's up, has been in Bremerton, that was being sent directly to the Persian Gulf area.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine anything more absurd than thinking in terms of using aircraft carriers to deal with the insurgency situation in Iraq?
Well, my greater concern is not that that carrier is intended to provide any kind of support or relief for American troops in Iraq, but that it is intended to be the platform for an attack on Iran.
Well, it could be that too. No, I wouldn't quarrel with that at all. But he is obviously, he isn't going to budge, and he couldn't be saying it more emphatically. If this Congress doesn't get the message by now, or at least within a week, what chance do we have at all? I mean, this is just so absurd that's not the word I'm wanting for words. It's just, if someone sat down and tried to write fiction about what's happening now, this is one of those times where, you know, the old saw about truth is stranger than fiction would absolutely be true. It's surreal.
Well, it is, and it is deeply detached from reality, and that's one of the real problems. Coming up next hour, Joe Galloway, who is a longtime champion of American troops, is going to be on the show, and I think that he's going to offer a very interesting perspective as a guy who nobody could ever accuse of failing to support the troops, and he has sharp criticism of the policy. And I think that we just need to hear that chorus of voices growing, and in particular when it comes to the issue of escalating the war. As I mentioned, I'm disappointed that Carl Levin has issued a statement that is kind of carefully crafted, and it challenges the president to at once enlarge the force temporarily and make that part of a plan to start withdrawing forces. And, maybe it's a clever ploy on Levin's part, but I prefer the much clearer stance of Joe Biden and candidate John Edwards, who say flatly, you know, it's folly, it's irrational, it's indefensible to talk about increasing the U.S. presence in Iraq at this point.
By the way, do you know of a journalist by the name of Nir Rosen, Nirrosen?
I have read Nir Rosen's work, yeah.
Well, that's the major work that's in that socialist worker that I was talking to you about last night.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to mention that I had already offered that copy to a friend, so uh-huh. I will send it, but it's only after they get it back to me.
Okay.
I haven't even gotten it there yet,
right.
But I will get it to you, and if I can't get it to you, I'll get another copy.
All right, John. And the other thing I want to recommend is the latest issue of Mad Magazine.
Oh, I could go for that anytime.
Much, much sharper satire than I've ever seen from that publication before. Check it out. Thank you, John. Now we go to Carolyn in Salinas. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi. I was just calling to wonder why the public in general is not discussing Denis Kucinich and his plans to withdraw the troops.
Well, it's frustrating, but he is marginalized in the mainstream media. When he announced for president a few weeks back, they gave him the last 5 minutes on Hardball and, you know, just barely, you know, gave him, I think, his due. We have an invitation out to Congressman Kucinich to come on the program, and I support his candidacy and his very clear positions on the war.
Okay, well, thank you. I was just wondering why and how can we get him more popular? Are the nation discussing him, getting him on committees, things like that?
Well, you just have to keep telling friends and calling radio shows and mentioning his name. You've done your part for today.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. Coming up next, Swanee Hunt will join us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays, 3 to 5.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. Yeah! Coming up next hour, Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans affairs, will be joined by a great journalist, Joe Galloway. He's a military columnist for the McClatchy Newspaper Group and an outspoken individual. Looking forward to that. That's coming up about a half hour from now. For the next 30 minutes or so, we are joined by Swanee Hunt. She served as ambassador to Austria during the Clinton administration, and she has published a powerful memoir called Half-Life of a Zealot. Swanee Hunt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much.
I had the opportunity to interview you and meet face-to-face when I subbed on the Mother Jones radio show back in November, and it was delightful to meet you, Ambassador.
Thanks. We had a good time.
We did. And you impressed me and struck me with your honesty and your comfort with your own story, which has some uncomfortable passages.
You know, at 56, I think you better be comfortable with who you are. So, I don't have many secrets.
Well, I want to recommend the book to people and invite them to read it and learn more about you. There's one aspect of your past that I'd like to ask you about today, and then I want to kind of fast forward to the work that you've been focused on and how you're spending your inheritance, if I can put it that way.
Sure.
You talk in detail in the book about your father, H.L. Hunt. He was an oil millionaire or billionaire, described as one of the richest men in America at the time. And he was also a virulently anti-communist and outspoken individual. And because this week of the kind of protracted memorial services for President Ford, we've had a number of discussions on our program here about the true record of Gerald Ford. And one of the things that's been glossed over in the recap of his life has been his effort. He led the charge to try to impeach Chief Justice Earl Warren back in the early 1960s. And this was a cause celeb for the hard right in the United States, including your father and the John Birch Society. And I just wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about that era, because you were in some cases, kind of trained as a parrot for your father's political positions.
Right. I don't think parrot's a very nice word.
Yeah, I agree.
I was a girl. I was 10 years old, 12, 14, when I would be on stage with him, and he had me as the warm-up speech. And I would talk about the communists for about 12 minutes, and then he would talk for 45 minutes about the communists. And in a way, it was an opportunity for me to connect to him. And that was real important, because there weren't very many ways to connect to him. He was 61 when I was born, and he wasn't a person who, what shall I say, he couldn't seem to establish personal relationships in a meaningful way. I don't believe he ever asked me, for example, how are you, or how was your day, or what's going on. It was always about the communists. He was really obsessed mm-hmm. with that. But, he wasn't alone. That was the zeitgeist. That was the theme of, it was in the air. We had Khrushchev at the UN pounding his shoe and mm-hmm. on the table and saying, we will bury you. And in fact, when you looked across Europe, you saw the Iron Curtain and people in real misery and sacrificing their lives trying to get across walls, and people being locked up, millions of people disappearing in the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. being shipped off to Siberia. So it wasn't something that people were just fabricating out of nothing. We lose touch of that. But then it gave people like my father a way to organize their thinking, generally speaking. So, mm-hmm. for example, Martin Luther King was a communist.
Right.
And any civil rights leader was a communist, because they were agitators.
Well, thank you for making that point, because this is one of the things that when I look back, I see that Gerald Ford in some ways was used by Southern anti-integration politicians to lead this charge to impeach Earl Warren under the front that he was a communist or a commie sympathizer. But I always felt that it was the Brown versus the Board of Education rule and the Warren Court's efforts to desegregate the United States that really attracted the wrath of the far right in this country.
Well, they were conflated. The far right, at least as I understood my father, said that the civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King, led by Martin Luther King, were trying to destroy America. And doing that, whether they were just dupes and unwittingly abetting the communists, or whether they were actually communist sympathizers, they were part of that whole movement in my father's mind. I mean, I remember going back into his files and finding a note from an FBI agent saying, we have confirmed pictures of Martin Luther King at a communist training camp. You know, and this was under J. Edgar Hoover, of course. And
gosh, it's good that we didn't have Guantanamo open and the Military Commissions Act law in effect.
Yeah, but this was the time of the House Un-American Activities Committee, you know, and my father was a friend of Joe McCarthy's and a friend of Douglas MacArthur, and there was a sense of who the patriots were. And then my father wouldn't say, he wouldn't call the other people negative names. He would call them the mistaken enemies of freedom. I guess enemies of freedom is pretty negative. But he rarely wanted to use the same nomenclature. For example, he refused to call himself a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I'm a constructive. So he was his own man.
Oh, indeed. He was quite original, I think, in many respects. I heard a couple of his radio broadcasts because I was a young kid with, I used to listen to, you know, distant signals late at night. And I heard a couple of his radio shows, and I was fascinated by the way he presented himself and also kind of repelled by the hardline politics that he espoused.
And there was a whole group of points of view that went together. For example, he was very anti-Semitic, as were many people who were raised on farms in the United States in particular. I guess city folk also. But Dad had no formal education, really.
Yeah.
And so then you get the, remember how the Jewish community rallied behind the civil rights movement. And that was really a collaboration between Jews in America and black leadership. Mm-hmm. Well, that further led to my father saying, well, the Jews are communists, too. So it was a pretty big basket of enemies.
Now, did he support the impeachment of Earl Warren?
Oh, yes. We heard about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot.
Did he have any direct connection to Gerald Ford in that era?
I don't remember. Uh-huh. And I'm sure that I should have Googled my father and Gerald Ford and seen what came up. Dad hated Roosevelt so much, FDR, that he launched a campaign to limit the number of terms a president can serve. So the 22nd Amendment was one that my father worked all across the country to get passed.
Mm-hmm. And what about the John Birch Society? Did he ever contribute to that group?
Yeah, what I have heard is that he was not a member and wasn't a big donor. My father was such an individualist. He was what was called in the industry, in the oil and gas industry, a wildcatter, which means that there wasn't seismic testing. So the industry really relied on a few people who were so comfortable with risk that they would go out and just punch holes in the ground and drill down and see if they could find oil on a hunch and a prayer. And then if they found oil or didn't find oil, that would help define where the field was for the people who would come along behind.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he drilled 99 dry holes in a row. But, you know, he had some astounding successes. So, anyway, that's all to say that he was very much his own man, and he wasn't much of a follower. He wasn't what he would call a joiner.
Right, yeah. Swanee Hunt is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Her powerful memoir is called Half-Life of a Zealot. And now, as promised, Ambassador, I want to fast-forward to your tenure as ambassador to Austria during the Clinton administration. And I wonder if you don't mind retelling the story that you tell vividly in the book and that you shared with me last time we spoke about your trip to Dachau. I think that was the concentration camp. And while you were there for some ceremonies, you had a kind of moment of realization about what was going on in the former Yugoslavia.
Yeah. Actually, the camp was Mauthausen, M-A-U-T-Hausen, Mauthausen, which is right in the middle of Austria. And every year there would be a ceremony there, which the American ambassador would go to. But I was there for the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Mauthausen. I think, as I recall, 120,000 people died there in the quarries or through other means. They were political prisoners as well as Jews, but or mentally ill, or homosexual, you know, just anyone that the Nazis thought were not fit for their new society, their Reich. And the camp had actually been discovered accidentally by a battalion of tanks that was rolling along the countryside and came across this concentration camp that no one knew was there, which is kind of an amazing thing. And in the death cells waiting was Simon Wiesenthal, who, of course, is a great name. Many people know of him as a great Nazi hunter. So those were the kinds of people who were there. Wiesenthal weighed about 80 pounds when the camp was liberated. I was there and standing in a long line of all of the ambassadors. The camp was crowded with about 30,000 people who had come in for this ceremony, and they were former camp inmates or family members of ones who had lived or ones who had died. And so there was this long snake line of, let's say, about 100 ambassadors, and the United States, Vereinigten Staaten, was at the very back because we were alphabetical. And I was there with the Marines, and they had the color guard, and I was to lay a wreath on a plaza after all of these other ambassadors had. And so there was this polite applause as different ambassadors came up to the front and laid the wreath. But when it got to the United States, the people cheered and were calling out, oh, grazie, grazie, you know, danke, or any shalom, you know, any way of saying thank you to the United States for their role. And I thought, was so proud. I thought, yeah, I've never been so much into the military world, mm-hmm. but at that moment I realized, in a way I never had, that the place of the United States in ending that war. And so I was sitting there then for the ceremonies, and they were all never again and never again. And on my left was Simon Wiesenthal, and on my right was Viktor Frankl, who was a great writer of the Holocaust times.
Man's Search for Meaning. I'll never forget
exactly
that book.
You're exactly right. That's exactly right. And I realized as I was sitting there that back on my desk was a pile of telegrams from Sarajevo and other parts of Bosnia saying, send air support. You know, we are being strangled here. The Serbs are shelling night and day. Snipers are firing at will. Please intervene. This was the State Department telegraphing and telegramming back to the main State Department in Washington. I mean, this was government, you know, all inside of our own government. And I thought, you know, I've always wondered who those policymakers were who would sit at their big desks and let Hitler happen. And now I felt like I was one of those policymakers. And it was a terrible moment to realize this choice between when do you intervene with military action, you know, and when do you say, oh, well, that's their problem, you know, we're not going to get involved.
And I sense it was a cathartic moment, and we're going to take a break here. And Swanee Hunt, when we return, I want to talk about Women Waging Peace and some of the other initiatives of the Hunt Alternatives Fund.
Sure.
And we'll also give some websites where people can get more information. Our guest is Swanee Hunt. Again, her book is called Half-Life of a Zealot. It's out from Duke Publishers, and it's in hardcover. I recommend it to you. We'll take a break and continue, and if you have a comment or a question, you can call us right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
One, two, three, four.
We continue now. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Everybody talking about swag. Swag, 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 swag. All we are saying is give me the chance.
We're talking with Swanee Hunt. She served as ambassador to Austria during the Clinton administration, played a pivotal role in bringing peace to the former Yugoslavia. That and other aspects of her life are chronicled in a book called Half-Life of a Zealot, and that tells part of the story, but Swanee Hunt isn't finished. We talked about the origins of her family fortune, and she's not buying up oil companies or trying to drill new wells. She is working for peace around the world. And one of the organizations funded by her foundation, the Hunt Alternatives Fund, is called Women Waging Peace. And I invite you to visit their website, womenwagingpeace.net. And Ambassador, perhaps a way to start is just right here on the homepage, the picture of the courageous and late Russian journalist Anna Politkovskaya, who was brutally murdered as she was trying to report the truth about the problems between Russia and Chechnya.
Anna Politkovskaya was a great woman, and her assassination has inspired women all over the world who have been in touch with me. And they've said, on the one hand, I suppose I'm more afraid now for the work I'm doing in Sudan or in Colombia or wherever with all the death threats that I'm receiving. But on the other hand, I know that I cannot stop my work because I must keep doing it for Anna Politkovskaya.
Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit bizarre, but because of the polonium-210 poisoning of the Russian spy in Britain, she has been, I guess her story is even better known than it was at the time she died.
That's right, because he was investigating her murder. No one, you know, it's interesting. Many people thought that she wasn't touchable because she was so lovely and beloved. She had been into Chechnya for about 40 times, she told me. And because she was a woman, she felt like she could get through the checkpoints more easily, even though it was always at a risk to her life. But she would come back writing scathing reports about the Russian military and the human rights abuses. And I actually linked her up once with the American ambassador, who then linked her up with President Bush. And she told Bush, this is not a war on terrorism that Putin is waging. But not that he listened.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're hardly in a position to be the great moral standard, are we?
Indeed.
So, anyway, Anna had a friend with NPR, in fact. I was doing an interview with them, and the friend told me that Anna had told her, every day I wake up and I think this could be my last day.
Yeah. And let's broaden out from her as a specific. What is the mission of Women Waging Peace, and how do you organize the different projects around the world?
Well, there are about 30 or 40 violent conflicts going on at any point. In other words, wars. And that's the bad news. Now, the good news is that we aren't doing everything that we could be doing about it, because that would be the worst news. We would be despairing if we thought we were doing everything we could. But we are not tapping into more than half the population, and the women in these countries are particularly motivated to try to stop the conflict, because for one thing, in terms of their roles in the families, you know, they see these conflicts as being disastrous to their families. So they are working all kinds of ways, whether it's organizing street protests or as members of parliaments or investigative journalists like Anna, trying to stop these conflicts. And they are doing it with virtually no support from the World Bank or UN or State Department, because we don't even recognize their work.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is to highlight their work, and we have a network of about 500 of them, of these women, and we've introduced them to about 4,000 policymakers, even as I did with Anna and the U.S. ambassador, who then introduced her to Bush.
Mm-hmm. So as you look at these different situations, do you just try to provide central support and coordination, or is there any kind of a way of trying to transfer some of the successful efforts in one country to another?
Oh, we do a lot of that sort of exchange. I just came back from Liberia, where we had a woman from Rwanda who had done magnificent work after the genocide in stabilizing that country. So she came to Liberia to work with the members of the women members of parliament there and the leaders of what we call civil society, in other words, the nonprofit sector. And she was giving them all the examples from Rwanda of what they had tried that had worked or that had failed, and you know, lessons learned, et cetera. We have 25 women who are coming this Saturday to Harvard, coming from six different conflicts, and they will be exchanging their strategies, learning from Harvard faculty, and then they'll all go to Washington and meet with the policymakers.
Very interesting. And you believe that women have a unique voice, or at least a voice that needs to be amplified in many of the policy discussions underway around the world today.
I would say in almost all of the policy discussions. And we're never talking about all women or all men. Anyone can find exceptions to anything I say about women, but we know that women, because of their social roles, have a different perspective, because they have different tasks all day long. And you know what, the way you see the world is partly dependent on what you do all day. And so if you're taking care of kids a whole lot, then you're going to be thinking not just about where the territory line should be, but you're going to be thinking about how do I make a safe place for my kid to get to school. You know, so you're going to have a micro view of security as well as the macro view of security. And that can actually be written into a peace agreement. In Northern Ireland, the coalition across Catholic and Protestant was done by the women, and they made sure they got into the peace agreement that the children would have united education. The Catholic and Protestant children had to go to the same schools instead of being taught two different views of history that would lead them to be fighting when they were adults.
Swanee Hunt, you're a peacemaker, and I applaud the work you're doing. I thank you for joining us today. I want people to visit womenwagingpeace.net and pick up the book Half-Life of a Zealot. We've been talking with Swanee Hunt. Thank you very much, Ambassador.
You're so welcome.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Nissan Quest, a minivan that gives you everything you could want, if indeed you need a minivan. My Quest demo has a fuel-injected six-cylinder engine that's got plenty of power and a smooth five-speed automatic. It's very well-designed, seats seven, and has every feature you can think of. A big sunroof, power side doors, and, well, just about power everything. DVD with wireless headsets, nav system, satellite radio, but it's really practical, too. I folded down the rear seats and loaded in an oversized six-foot bathtub, and it fit nicely with all doors closed. By the numbers, the 2007 Nissan Quest 3.5 SE gets about 18 miles in the city, 25 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $41,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker of the House.
I accept this gavel in the spirit of partnership, not partisanship.
Some major personnel changes in the Bush administration. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was all smiles and handshakes today as the 110th Congress convened with the Democrats in control. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports from Capitol Hill.
The new Democratic Congress convened with pomp and ceremony and something very new, a woman in the chair. Democrat Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House, the highest elected position any woman has held in American history.
Today we have broken the marble ceiling for our daughters and our granddaughters now. The sky is the limit.
But there are limits to what she and other Democrats can accomplish with President Bush in the White House and the narrowest of margins in the Senate. The Democratic leader there, Harry Reid of Nevada, said they can only move ahead by working together, and that's what they'll do.
We in the Senate are committed to bipartisanship.
The first order of business for the new Congress, ethics and lobby reform, after the scandals that helped bring these Democrats to power. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
American voters are upbeat, according to the latest CBS News poll.
68% of Americans say they feel optimistic about the next 2 years with the Democrats in control of Congress, while just a quarter are pessimistic.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit. By a wide margin, people say Congress should concentrate on Iraq, but only 8% believe the Democrats have a clear plan. Just 20% think President Bush does. Minutes ago, the president said he'll announce his plan next week. Now this.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you with a gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-540-1633. Call 1-800-540-1633 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-540-1633.
The new strategy in Iraq will include new military commanders. CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger has breaking news.
Admiral William Fallon, currently the commander-in-chief of the Pacific, will replace General John Abizaid at U.S. Central Command. And Lieutenant General David Petraeus, who was in charge of the training of the Iraqi military, is going to replace General George Casey, who's now the top commander in Iraq.
And another hint of a troop surge. White House spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki had an hour and 45-minute teleconference today.
They talked about various... The one thing that they're talking about the importance of having sufficient force within Baghdad to create a stable situation within the city.
At the midpoint of President Bush's second term, some top-level changes. CBS News has learned that Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. ambassador in Baghdad, will be nominated for ambassador to the U.N., and White House counsel Harriet Myers, a confidant from the president's days as Texas governor, is stepping down.
In her letter of resignation, effective the end of the month, Myers did not say why she's leaving. Spokesman Tony Snow only said she's had 6 years of hard duty at the White House.
She informed the president yesterday, and he has regretfully accepted her resignation.
Myers has been a longtime, deeply loyal advisor to Mr. Bush, but the tenure got bumpy in 2005 when he named her to succeed Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court. It produced an outcry among some top conservatives who questioned her qualifications, and Mr. Bush withdrew the nomination just a few weeks later. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Today, administration officials confirmed that National Intelligence Director John Negroponte will be moving to the State Department. As the thermometer goes up, oil prices go down. The steep slide continued today with oil futures plunging nearly $3 to $55.59 a barrel.
The incredibly warm weather is really weighing on prices.
Analyst John Kilduff says winter fuel demand is very weak in the eastern two-thirds of the nation, where the weather's been so spring-like that cherry blossoms are coming out. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple, you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
The holidays are over, and CBS.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Mission accomplished. Ah, that's such ancient history. This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, our weekly visit with our contributor on military and veterans affairs, Scott Dick. It's part of our basic policy here at the PBC show that we like to talk with people who know more than I do, and that's how we all can learn about what's going on. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter, in this haily, rainy place I live.
Really? You got hail and rain and everything?
Did indeed.
Oh, we sent it because it was raining here in the Bay Area this morning. I guess it moved south because we have sunshine, we've got wind, and it's a little chilly, but no precipitation right now.
Well, keep the wind and send me the sunshine, Peter.
Okay, I'll do my best. Now, Scott, I want to commend you because you reached out and brought us a very interesting guest who probably knows more than both of us, and that's consistent with our efforts here at the PBC show. Joe Galloway has written about military affairs for four decades, and he is currently a war reporter columnist for the McClatchy Washington Bureau. He's syndicated across the country. And that, of course, is a result of Knight Ridder's sale last year. For many years, he worked for the Knight Ridder Group, and that was an excellent chain of newspapers that was sold by under some pressure from investors. And the impact is still being felt. I just read of more cutbacks in Philadelphia. And the Mercury News in San Jose has suffered a lot of cutbacks, too. Joe Galloway, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Peter, it's nice to be with you.
Nice to talk with you, sir. I wanted to just recommend to people that they Google Joe Galloway, because that's what I did a little bit earlier today. And it took me to a summary page of your columns at the Washington Bureau of McClatchy Newspapers. And I'd just like to give people a flavor of recent columns from the headlines posted here. No, no to Bush's double down. Bush's new way forward is into quicksand. Leave Iraq now. Don't wait until 2008 election day. Iraq sinks deeper into utter confusion. Three options for Iraq, none perfect. So you must be pretty popular over at the White House these days.
Oh, I don't think they care very much, but I've maintained a very critical view of how this war was started and how it's been conducted for the last three and a half, nearly 4 years.
Well, indeed you have. And you write, if I'm correct, primarily from the perspective of individual service members.
Well, I try to. Those are the people that somehow are, you know, carrying all of the burden of sacrifice in this mistaken war. And not too many people speak for them. A lot of people pay lip service to their sacrifice, but I owe those people far too much over 40 years of going to war with them to sit back quietly.
Well, Joe Galloway is with us this entire hour, and if you'd like to call with a question or comment, you're welcome to join us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to talk about, of course, Topic A, which is what appears to be the president's new way forward, adding more troops and escalating our involvement in Iraq. I want to talk about General Casey, General Abizaid, and some of the others who appear to be suffering for their honest opinions and best counsel to the Bush administration, and a lot of other things, too. But let me turn to Scott now and see what you'd like to bring to this discussion right now.
Well, I just heard that Admiral Fallon is going to replace Abizaid. Joe, what do you think about it, replacing an Army general in a central command with a Navy admiral?
Well, I thought the first thought was probably it would have been better to have an Army or a Marine general in that job, since it is the soldiers and the Marines who are bearing 98% of the burden of this war on the ground. But I've also read in some on Admiral Fallon's background, and he seems to be a fairly thoughtful fellow who reaches out and listens to a lot of people, and that's not a bad thing in this time.
No, it's not. Joe, I know that you've had in the past extensive contacts with the senior leadership of the Army, both and the Marine Corps, both retired and active. What are you hearing from them right now about the change of Petraeus and Fallon?
Well, I think there's some puzzlement, because both of them were scheduled for changing out, but not until summer. And the timing is a little strange for General Abizaid's retirement in early March, I think, and the supposed replacement of General Casey with General Petraeus imminent. And I don't know where he goes. They both of them have done pretty good jobs with the hand they were dealt. General Abizaid, arguably one of the smartest guys in the U.S. military, an Arabist, speaks the language, has extensive time in the Middle East, and I couldn't have found a better man to be the CENTCOM commander when he was. And I have some question, and I think a lot of other people do, that that maybe they're leaving a little sooner than planned, because Abizaid testified in front of Congress a month or 5 weeks ago that they didn't need any more troops on the ground in Iraq. It wouldn't help, and it probably would hurt from the standpoint of, you know, sort of buffering the Iraqi government from making the hard decisions they need to be making. And the real decisions are theirs, not George Bush's.
Well, Joe Galloway, that's a critical point. And historically, since we invaded Iraq, Bush has always said, in response to critics that we didn't send enough troops, that you know, he'll send more troops if the commanders on the ground ask for them. It's not a political decision that's going to be made in Washington, D.C. And isn't that exactly what's going on right now? And aren't Abizaid and Casey paying a price for it?
To me and to others who've looked at it, that's exactly what's going on. And furthermore, I'm puzzled, because what I'm hearing in the last couple of days is that the so-called surge is really going to be nothing but a bump. Instead of the 30 or 40,000 that were recommended by Fred K. Kagan of the American Enterprise Institute. There come the neocons again.
Exactly.
And a retired general, Jack Keane, who isn't exactly noted for his strategic thinking.
Hmm.
They're not even going to do that. They're talking about 15,000.
Well, what concerns me, you two, just sorry to interrupt, Joe, is that here you got an experienced in-country team. You got the ambassador and the two, the central commander and the senior guy on the ground, the army general. They're, all three of them are going away.
Yes, and that's, and all at the same time. And that's not usually a very wise thing to do in a combat situation. You want continuity there. And with Petraeus, you achieve that. I mean, he's a very smart guy, and he's had 2.5 years on the ground in Iraq, first as a division commander, the 101st Airborne, immediately after the invasion, and then went back and did another year and a half as the guy who was in charge of training the Iraqi security forces. So he knows the thing, and the continuity there is good. I don't know that you will have the same continuity with Admiral Fallon stepping in for General Abizaid and the changes that take place.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, we're going to take a break and return. Joe Galloway is with us. He is a columnist and a journalist with the McClatchy Washington Bureau, syndicated columnist. The War Reporter is the title of his column, and you can find his columns online. This one's too long. Google it. That's the easy way to find it. And we will return in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue with Scott Dick and Joe Galloway in just a moment. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, kick off your new year by listening to one of the top experts on investing in real estate, James Ross. He's president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings, and will be on the show sharing his strategies on how to build your wealth through real estate investments. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Hello.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We do have a couple of major problems on Highway 17. It is definitely the trouble spot this afternoon. Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 after the summit. This is an injury accident. Both of the lanes at this point are blocked. An armored truck overturned in the roadway. So traffic is being diverted off the roadway at Granite Creek Road. Northbound 17 reports it's backed up into Scotts Valley. Also in the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 at Glenwood Drive, we had an earlier accident. This was an overturned big rig. It has been cleared out of the roadway, but still the damage is done at this point with the other accident. Traffic is backed up to Lexington Reservoir. We also have a Romas eastbound Highway 129 at Rogie Lane. Major injury accident there. This is a big rig and a car got into it. Hurry to Sleep Train today and save 20 to 50% off on select clearance mattress sets while supplies last. Stop in today and save big. Sleep Train is your ticket to a better night's sleep. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
Continues. 20 minutes past the hour as we continue with our regular contributor on military and veterans affairs, Scott Dick, and our special guest today, the correspondent for the McClatchy newspaper group and syndicated columnist, Joe Galloway. I just pulled up one of Joe's columns here. I want to read a couple of lines if nobody objects. This is from December 13th. The power brokers in Washington spent the week carefully arranging fig leaves and tasteful screens to cover the emperor's nakedness while he was busy pretending to listen hard to everyone with an opinion about Iraq while hearing nothing. Sometime early in the new year, President Bush will go on national television to tell a disgruntled American public what he's decided should be done to salvage victory from the jaws of certain defeat in the war he started. And the headline, Joe Galloway, reads, New Way Forward is Into Quicksand. And I've been trying to understand the term New Way Forward and why Democratic leaders have used what appears to be one of those focus group tested Karl Rove phrases that means absolutely nothing to me.
You got me there, Peter. I don't know. I'm stumped as you are. I you know, Peter, every time I start reading about Bush and his decision-making process, I have to put my cervical collar on to keep from getting whiplash even more than I've already gotten from reading his stuff.
And, Joe Galloway, what does the new way forward mean to you?
There is no new way forward. It's a little more of a bad decision, and it adds up to nothing but more sacrifice on the part of our soldiers and Marines who are on the ground in that debacle, and who are dying and being wounded daily in increasing numbers. And if you add more troops, the casualty rate will go up. It's a given if you don't change your strategy. This is the thing that they, from the beginning, the political leadership, Bush, Cheney, and Don Rumsfeld at the Pentagon, froze out any discussion of a change because they feared it would just open them up and everyone would see that it was a failure. Their tactics have always been consistent. If you tell a lie often enough, enough people will believe it, you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys who runs fastest from reality is Dick Cheney, who keeps saying things that we know aren't true long after they have been proved to be lies.
Well, he's in the final throes of denial, isn't he?
Well, he's the one in there who has a brain. The other guy could claim he's a moron, but there's no excuse for Cheney.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Now, over the past week, a fascinating poll was released by Military Times. And let me just read a couple of quick squibs here. 6,000 active duty military personnel were polled. 38% of the troops said the U.S. should send more troops to Iraq. 39% say we should either maintain current levels or reduce the number of troops. And that 39% includes 13% of uniform service members who support complete and immediate withdrawal. Only 35% said they approve of the way Bush is handling the war, and 42% disapproved. Now, those last two numbers are a dramatic shift from just 2 years ago. Isn't that right, Joe?
Absolutely. You know, and these are the people on the ground who are paying the price and doing 3 and 4 combat deployments. You couldn't do that in Vietnam. You did one tour unless you volunteered for more. Here, our entire Army and our entire Marine Corps are just being ground up in these wheels and no way out, because the political leadership refuses to acknowledge the truth that we're going nowhere there except into a spiral downward.
I want to open up the phone lines now. If you'd like to call in and talk with us, it's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And here's a man who served in Iraq and has called our program on several occasions, Leonard from Glendale, Arizona. Welcome today, Leonard.
Hey, thanks a lot, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to two such experienced gentlemen. And I wanted to ask a question. Basically, what I wrestled with when I was in Iraq was... when is it incumbent upon a soldier, and especially a general or a higher-ranking officer, who knows that his or her men are dying, who knows that he or she is sending them into the field without proper equipment, but continues, to do so? Where does the line of negligence fall? Maybe I'm asking too tough of a question. Maybe that's something within the person that only they themselves can know, but the only thing I can equate it to maybe would be, I can't even remember the movie, I think it was called Victory or something, with Kirk Douglas, a World War I officer who knew that his men were going to die, yet, and he felt terrible about it. He tried to talk the general in charge out of it. It was trench warfare, but yet he sent them anyways, but he went with them. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
All right,
Why aren't more officers speaking up?
Let's get a reaction. Joe Galloway first.
Well, they're... the whole blame of this thing cannot just be laid at the feet of Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld. You have military leaders who themselves were selected for higher command by Rumsfeld personally. He politicized the selection process for general officers, 2-star and above. Before... the Army or the Marine Corps, they had a vacancy for a 3-star general, they sent up the best candidate the selection process could produce. And a Secretary of Defense could say, no, I don't like that guy, send me another one. From the beginning, Rumsfeld said, no, you send me up 3 guys in person, and we'll interview them here in my office, and we'll decide which of them we want. Well, they were not selecting for moral courage, ability to do anything but bend with the wind. So when you get around to rebuilding our military, which has been broken by this war and the misconduct of it, you're going to have to go through there and clean some of these guys out, maybe a lot of them.
Scott, what's your comment to Leonard?
Well, he has a huge responsibility, but a lot of people believe, and I believe this, frankly, when I was a commander, that if I left because I was disgruntled with something that was going on, then who was going to replace me, and would they do any better? At least I could do the best of my ability to shield my troops from some stupidity, not everything, but I'd do what I could to cushion the
you know, the blows from an incompetent hierarchy.
Well, if I could jump in, that was also the excuse that General Howard K. Johnson, the chief of staff of the Army, gave when he determined in 1965 that Lyndon Johnson was going about Vietnam the wrong way, and he decided, I'm going to resign. And he called his car, a driver, and he got in, and on the way to the White House, he took the stars off his shoulders.
Gentlemen, I got to take a break. Joe Galloway and Scott Dick with us. Thanks for the call, Leonard.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift. Now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Partisanship breaks out. Politicians shocked. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The 110th Congress has barely begun, and already the promise of bipartisanship is in trouble. And I thought the parties would be freak dancing with each other by now. But alas, the Democrats intend to steamroll the Republicans in the first 100 hours, and Republicans like David Dreyer just can't believe they would be so mean.
What we're saying is that we're very disappointed that as we begin this process, we're seeing a tremendous level of inconsistency.
It's that inconsistency that'll bite you every time. Of course, the Democrats argue that Congress has already held hearings on the bills that make up the opening agenda, and that what really upsets the Republicans is that these bills are now actually going to pass. But having the majority doesn't exactly mean clear skies for the Democrats, as Representative Rahm Emanuel found out as he was ticking off the agenda for reporters. Yes, it was Cindy Sheehan and a few anti-war friends showing up to remind Democrats about what's not on the 100-hour list.
The grassroots movement and the peace movement elected them for change. We elected them to bring the troops home, stop funding the war, and for accountability.
Take heart, Republicans. I'm betting Iraq policy is one issue the Democrats will be more than happy to share with you. Now this.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Well, We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Lines available if you'd like to join our conversation. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Our music at the moment, early U2, it's called Out of Control. We're talking about the war in Iraq and the prospect of a new way forward there, whatever that means. Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans affairs with us, and Joe Galloway, who is the columnist and correspondent for the McClatchy Newspaper Group and publishes a syndicated column. And, Joe, I apologize. Sometimes we can't control these commercial breaks. They come in like a freight train. And you were in the middle of telling us a story about a general who was on his way to the White House and ready to turn in his stars.
He was indeed going to resign as Army Chief of Staff. And on the way across the river and up to the gates of the White House, he thought about this. And his thought was, in the end, he turned around and went back to his office. He said to himself, you know, if I quit, Lyndon Johnson will replace me by this afternoon, and the guy who comes in may be even worse than I would be. So I'll stay inside and try to protect the Army and soldiers from the worst of this thing. And at the end of his life, talking to a classmate from West Point, General Johnson, who was a Baptist preacher and a survivor of the Bataan Death March and a very upright man, confessed to his friend that that decision not to resign in protest was the greatest moral failing of his life and career.
Wow.
So, you know, staying there to try to divert some of the evil is not good enough.
Sometimes
you got to stand up and say, this is wrong, and I won't stand for it.
Now, with that in mind, I was one of those people who was calling for Rumsfeld's resignation, but in the back of my mind, I always feared, well, we don't know what we'll get out of Bush. So is Robert Gates an upgrade, in your opinion, Joe Galloway?
Well, I think he is. You know, almost anyone would be better than Don Rumsfeld. He had that almost fatal combination of characteristics. He was arrogant, he was ignorant, and he was in charge. And somebody is going to die when you have that combination.
So I
think Gates can't do any worse, and he may do some better.
Have you heard anything, Joe, about whether he's going to just keep going with the hand selection of senior Army leadership and that kind of thing? I know it's really young, and it's really, you know, new in his
It's early innings, but some of the rumblings out of the building is that that he will perhaps replace General Pace as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Pace is a Marine, but a very political guy. He was selected by Rumsfeld as the vice and has served 6 years under Rumsfeld's thumb, and doesn't show a great deal of character that you expect out of a Marine general. So I think he's going to clean some house. I certainly hope so.
Joe, do you have any idea who his deputies will be? I know that Cambone and some of the other deputy secretaries of defense resigned right after Rumsfeld. Has Gates started to assemble his second-tier team?
I'm assuming he's working on that, and as far as the departure of guys like Wolfowitz and Cambone and Doug Fite, you know, that was heartening to me because it looked like the rats were going down the hawsers.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joe, what are you hearing about advances toward Iran? We heard that a carrier out of Seattle has been sent to the Persian Gulf. And I'm losing count. Is it two or three carrier groups that are now deployed in that region?
It's at least two. I'm not sure if they've gone to three with this addition. Now, I live down here on the coast in South Texas, and the Ingleside Naval Base is not too far from here, probably 20 miles. And they have lifted at least four minesweepers out of Texas to the Persian Gulf. And these are moves that you would make if you were gearing up for something or if you're trying to run a bluff. And I don't know which it is. Either way, it doesn't sound too good.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that seems to me would be absolutely insane at this point is to buy the Air Force's argument that they can do a preemptive strike against the nuclear facilities in Iran, when in fact they don't know where half of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And some that they do know where they are buried so deep that unless the command authority or release tactical nuclear bombs to take them out, they can't be taken out. But you can be sure if that happens, they will mine the Persian Gulf. They will attack oil transports. They will unleash the Shiite supporters of Iran in Iraq against American forces, and we may have to fight our way out of that place.
Well, and Joe, you and Scott are both better schooled in military history and tradition than I, but even I know that one of the fundamental rules that have been violated at great peril in military history are nations that open up multiple fronts simultaneously. And given that we chose to invade Iraq, and given that it appears that Bush and Cheney want to amp things up and choose to open another front with Iran, isn't that just fundamentally irrational in military terms?
As far as I'm concerned, it is. Irrational is the right word.
As far as I'm concerned, it's crazy.
Yeah. He's being less polite than I am, too, but... it is. It's insanity. You know, we our military on the ground in Iraq has stretched the Army and the Marine Corps to the breaking point. We have something like three brigades that would be available now in the United States that could be moved in case of trouble in Korea or anywhere else in the world. What would we fight these people with?
And Joe, I don't know if people are aware. Three brigades don't represent much as far as, you know, if you stretched them shoulder to shoulder, you can't hold much ground with only three brigades. That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Well, and we've established that surging troops into Baghdad, which we've done since August, has not had the desired effect. If anything, things are worse, not necessarily just because of the surge, but in spite of it. And it just seems that, you know, we're playing to domestic PR, and the president's idea of his legacy and this desire for victory, which even Henry Kissinger admits is no longer within our reach.
That sounds right to me, as much as I hate to agree with anything Henry Kissinger ever said.
Peter, I think that something else I want to say is that when we speak in terms of going in to fight a big fight or even a small fight, we're talking about moving divisions around under Corps headquarters, and divisions have five brigades, not counting their support, five combat service support brigades. So being able to move only three is, and thinking about anything other than Iraq, is sheer nonsense.
Well, and Joe, I put it into context, too, that many people focus on the number of 145,000, 150,000 uniformed service members with boots on the ground in Iraq. But when you include the contractors that number in excess of 100,000, then the proposed surge, even if it peaked out at 40,000, is by percentage a very minuscule increase in our presence there. And, you know, the PR aspect of it is actually, you know, more imposing than the reality. And that PR aspect is likely to backfire the way so much of our presence in Iraq has done to date.
I can't argue with the thing you've said. It makes no good sense whatsoever. The thing to be doing right now is giving the Iraqi government a timetable. We're out of here. We are going to start moving troops out beginning next month, and you're going to have to step up and bite the bullet and try to sort this thing out yourselves, or have your civil war and kill everybody by the millions. But whatever you do, it's going to be your decision, and we're not going to be in the middle. This is it's insanity to do anything else and hope for a good outcome. rosy-hued glasses is all that this president has worn since 9/11.
Joe Galloway, I want to raise another issue that comes from Senator John Warner, who just turned over the gavel at the Armed Services Committee in the Senate to Carl Levin today. And he brought this up last summer, that in his opinion, the original authorization to use military force that the president used as his ticket to go into Iraq no longer applies. And in particular, given the Civil War, and I know those two words are not permitted in the Bush lexicon, but given the Civil War situation that is there, and our situation basically in the middle of it, and sometimes being used by Shia to kill Sunni and Sunni to kill Shia, it's really hard to justify our continuing presence without some sort of a new resolution that recognizes the reality of our occupation.
And such a resolution would not pass even the old Congress, much less the new one. I was on Hardball on CNN just an hour ago.
Chris Matthews is going to be upset with you. You were either on Hardball on MSNBC or you were on another show on CNN.
But he was interviewing Trent Lott, who just became the number two guy in the Senate for the Republicans, and he asked him if he was considering voting against the surge. And Lott said, yes, I would consider that. Now, that's stunning. This guy carried the water for the Bush administration for the whole first 4 years.
I've heard there are only 12 votes in the Senate that support John McCain and the surge concept.
I would be surprised if there were that many.
Now, let me jump in here, too, since I'm the color guy for military affairs for you two.
Go, Scott.
Joe, we're still talking a 6-to-1 tail for the bullet launchers, right?
Yeah.
So if we added 30,000, it's a minuscule number of actual combat troops. That's why they say they're going to be in Baghdad, because they're either going to be at Baghdad airport or Baghdad inside the green zone doing logistics stuff.
Yeah. Well, does anyone really think if you know, we had something like 15,000 that were dedicated to this operation to pacify Baghdad, which failed utterly and was admitted to have done so this summer. Now, if we add every single soldier that's sent there, never mind the logistics, if 15,000 are put on the streets of Baghdad in addition to another 10 that are already there, is that going to control a city of 7 million people, which is totally out of control, where they're finding 100 to 150 bodies in the street every morning? I don't think so. I don't think there's a single thing we can achieve except give both sides more American targets to kill.
I think there's more cops in New York City with a population of 7 million than that.
I think
they have 48,000.
I hope so.
That's amazing.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a break and return. Scott Dick is our contributor on military and veterans issues, and Joe Galloway is the correspondent and columnist from the McClatchy Newspaper Group, syndicated nationwide. Lines open if you'd like to join us, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
It is not a smooth ride through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Northbound 17, after the summit, there's an injury accident. Both the lanes at this point still block. An overturned armored truck has been righted. It's back on its wheels, but traffic is still being diverted off the roadway at Granite Creek Road. Northbound 17 stacked up into Scotts Valley. Santa Cruz Mountains southbound 17 at Glenwood Drive. An earlier accident involving an overturned big rig has been cleared out of the roadway, but still the damage is done. Traffic is backed up to Lexington Reservoir, and it's also don't take Old Santa Cruz Highway as an alternate because that traffic backed up even more than normal through that. It's extremely heavy throughout the entire area. Help your heart by taking the Quaker Smart Heart Challenge. Research suggests your cholesterol could drop by eating Quaker oatmeal for 30 days. For information on the 30-day Smart Heart Challenge, go to QuakerOatmeal.com. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
Peter B. Collins Show.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Hey, somebody send Gnarls Barkley over to the White House, will you? I'm Peter B. We continue with Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues, and Joe Galloway, who has covered war and the military for over four decades now. And Google his name, Joe Galloway, and you'll find his work at McClatchy Newspapers. Joe, we touched on Henry Kissinger a few minutes back. And we've been talking about the extended, protracted funeral services for President Ford over the past few days. And in particular, having people like Henry Kissinger's surface to eulogize him. And many of us believe that the record has been somewhat sanitized and nostalgified. I don't think that's a word. For the obvious reasons that he just recently died. But in particular, I'd like to ask your thoughts about the end of the Vietnam War, which, of course, was under the watch of Ford and Kissinger, and our Scott Dick was there in the theater and there for the evacuation. What's your sense of how much truthiness we get out of these memorial services for ex-presidents?
Well, there is a certain amount of nostalgia because Jerry Ford was not George W. Bush. And he wasn't Dick Nixon, and he wasn't a lot of things. He got stuck with the end of a bad deal, and maybe some of it he didn't do well. A lot of the authority really was not in his hands at that point. Congress had shut down the aid pipeline to the South Vietnamese. We didn't have troops on the ground anymore. And Nixon and Kissinger had cut a deal that, we still keep finding pieces of. Most recently, the idea of Kissinger sitting down with the Chinese and saying, look, we just want to arrange a decent interval to get out of there, and we don't care what happens to the South Vietnamese. Real politic or real betrayal? That was not Gerry Ford's decision. The decision that he did make, the Mayaguez rescue,
mm-hmm.
which was a totally unnecessary operation, cost the lives of 20 or so Marines.
Yeah.
I was on that operation.
You were?
On that.
Well, we were on the Denver, and we were deployed. They alerted us and moved us into that position, and we had just come off of the evacuation. We'd been on a float for months and months and months. And they made some kind of stupid decision, and our captain of the ship kept us completely, informed of what was going on. They used the units from Okinawa that had just got settled down and weren't, deployed or trained or anything. It was just a total mess.
It was a mess, and presented as a great rescue, and we got the crew of the ship back. They had already released them by the time we had Marines dying on that little island off there.
They told us, Joe, sorry to interrupt, but they told us that there was 80 to 100 Cambodians on that. And when the Air Force beach masters in the big Sea King helicopters flew in, the Cambodian regulars shot them out of the sky with quad 50s. The first people that died were people going in to set up logistics to assault the island of all nonsense. They were Air Force guys in helicopters.
Yeah.
I put that out of my brain.
Yeah, wow. Those are things you don't like to remember. And
Scott, what's your take on the Ford-Kissinger legacy in the end of Vietnam, or the end of the war?
Well, it was just, for me, I was an 18-year-old Marine, and it was the evacuation of Saigon, and the Vietnamese we got were the ones that could escape in helicopters, and then the boat people in the next day and a half. But the people that escaped in helicopters, we actually had, we disarmed them and searched them as part of our duties on the Denver. And one of our guys actually overheard a Vietnamese colonel who'd flown his helicopter saying, I'd made the ultimate sacrifice. I had to leave my family in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So this was the quality of the leadership that was in the South Vietnamese Army
mm-hmm.
at the time. At least that's my lasting impression. That's a quote that'll stay with me forever.
Let's take a call here. Josh in Salinas wants to talk about President Ford. Hi, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. We've been hearing over a week now how Gerald Ford was such a great healer, and he healed our country. It really, really ticks me off. Imagine that you have a raging infection in your body. You go see Dr. Staphylococcus. He says, oh, my, Peter, you're in a lot of pain. Here, take these narcotics.
No, those are for Rehnquist. All right, Josh, I'm tight for time. Thank you for your call today. I understand your point. Joe Galloway, returning to our current situation in Iraq and the political situation in Washington, I was a little stunned today to read that Carl Levin, who is going to take over the Senate Armed Services Committee, was offering kind of a wait-and-see comment about the proposal to surge or escalate our involvement in Iraq. Do you think the Democrats are just laying back to force the president to define the mission, and then they'll pounce and talk about how ridiculous it is? Or do you think they're actually going to accommodate him?
Well, they can get bear-trapped very easily to where any vote against the surge can be presented by the Karl Roves of this world as a vote against supporting the troops. That's certainly what I'm sure Rove is hoping for as he sits there scheming to rescue the boss's reputation. But I'm worried about the Democrats. I hope that they will stand up and deliver, because they've got a chance here, just a two-year window to deliver on the things that the American people have given them control of Congress to do, to get us out of Iraq, to start rebuilding our military, to do a lot of things, including and maybe especially starting the committee hearings to investigate how we got in that war, who salted the intelligence mine with lies and false premises to justify the invasion in the first place, who it was who set the policy and the tactics and the strategy, which have failed utterly, who profited from this? You know, if I were the Democrat leader in the House and the Senate, I would set up a bipartisan Harry S. Truman commission to investigate war profiteering.
Yeah, let's put Jim Baker in charge. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
Joseph L. Galloway, thank you for joining us today. A real pleasure to talk with you, and let's do it again. Scott Dick, thanks for arranging it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Peter. It was my pleasure.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Two top generals are being replaced. CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger reports Admiral William Fallon, the Pacific commander, will take over U.S. Central Command, relieving General John Abizade. And Lieutenant General David Petraeus will replace General George Casey as the top U.S. commander in Iraq.
The new Secretary of Defense, Bob Gates, clearly decided that he needed to get his own team in place. And that's exactly what he's done. And he also wants a team that he knows is going to support the president's new strategy on Iraq.
Late today, Mr. Bush said he'll unveil his plan soon. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has that.
Though he gave no specifics, President Bush makes it sound as though he's decided to send more troops to Iraq as part of a new strategy.
One thing is for certain, I will want to make sure that the mission is clear and specific and can be accomplished.
Mr. Bush says his thinking on a new way forward in Iraq is taking shape and he'll be ready to announce it next week, though he refused to say what day. Asked about the taunting of Saddam Hussein just before his hanging, Mr. Bush said he wished the execution had been more dignified, but he said Saddam was given justice. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Some of the players in the Bush administration are changing. CBS News has learned that Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, will be brought home to serve as ambassador at the U.N. And at the White House, counsel Harriet Myers, the president's longtime advisor, has resigned effective January 30th. The daggers have already come out, but for most of the 110th Congress's first day, it was all sweetness and light. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
It was a festa day on Capitol Hill, at least for Democrats, celebrating their return to power after a dozen years. The words on everybody's lips, including those of new House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was bipartisanship.
We have an obligation to reach beyond partisanship to work for all Americans.
But not long after that, partisan sniping was alive and well on the House floor as debate started over a tough new package of ethics and lobby rules that Republicans say they weren't consulted on. Democrats also promised quick action on raising the minimum wage and forcing prices down for drugs in the new Medicare program. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
At least one possible tornado touched down late today in southern Louisiana, smashing mobile homes. Sid Hebert is the sheriff in Iberia Parish.
We have a total of two deaths. I have two critically injured, which I'm fearing their future because of the damage that was done to them when the trailers completely collapsed on them. I am still missing three children, ages from 15 on down.
About 16 trailers were damaged, six homes damaged or destroyed. Today on Wall Street, the Dow gained 6 points, the Nasdaq rose 30, and the price of oil fell nearly $3 a barrel. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Premiering this Sunday at 9, 8 Central on VH1. 10 Surreal Life All-Stars, including Vanilla Ice, Emmanuel Lewis, Sandra Peppa Denton, and Brigitte Nielsen, must put their fame to the test.
I feel that I'm famous.
Who will make it to the A-list, the B-list, or no list at all?
We're going to find out just how famous you really are.
The Surreal Life Fame Games. It's a fight to the famousest. Premieres this Sunday at 9, 8 Central, only on VH1.
Your child strapped into that expensive car seat might not be as safe as you think. CBS News correspondent John Harchie explains.
Many cars and light trucks rate up to 5 stars in a government crash testing program that's more stringent than the minimum safety requirements. But
what was really surprising to us is that when we tested infant seats under the same condition, we found some very serious deficiencies.
At Consumer Reports, Don May says 10 of 12 infant seats they tested failed, meaning
the child in your car in a safety seat is not as well protected as the adult passenger.
Parents must carefully research what infant seats are best and how to properly install them. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Police in Tacoma, Washington have yet to establish a motive for yesterday's shooting at Foss High School. The 18-year-old suspect who allegedly shot and killed a fellow student at close range refuses to give a reason, saying, "I don't want it on the news." Authorities say the suspect did not know his victim, but knew of him. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-540-1633. Call 1-800-540-1633 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-540-1633.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I was born to be wild. It's the Free Speech Zone where we get wild and woolly and take your phone calls, any subject, any viewpoint, you know it.
Get your motor running.
888-5 Peter B.
Head out on the highway.
That's toll free 888-573-8372. Yes, the Free Speech Zone this entire hour, ready for your phone calls, and you can talk about what Joe Galloway had to say last hour about the misguided policies of the Bush administration. Here's a guy who has covered our military for 40 years, and you heard his unvarnished criticism of this Chicken Hawk administration. And I welcome your comments on that. John Negroponte has resigned as the intelligence czar. Because he's more comfortable being a diplomat, drawing on his deep experience in Central America during the Reagan administration, fostering wars of convenience, and supporting the alleged freedom fighters called the Contras. Interesting, in the coverage of the Negroponte move, his biography cuts off in the 1990s. They don't go back to those days in the 1980s when he infuriated so many people. But Negroponte wants to make the shuffle over to the number two slot at the State Department, where Richard Armitage used to hold the post. And I cannot confirm this, but it's an interesting theory. Bob Furtick at Democrats.com says flatly that he sees this move as a way to pave the way for Condoleezza Rice to run for president in 2008. And frankly, I don't see it. I don't think there's a strong base for a woman to run for the Republican nomination, much less an African-American woman who has championed this war that is such a loser for the Republicans. But stranger things have happened, and the Republicans have defied what I consider to be logic on a regular basis. Plenty to talk about, so give us a call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. One other story in the news before I take your phone calls. As you know, on this program, we devote an hour every week, our final hour on Fridays, to election protection. And we look hard at the processes of our elections, the way much of the process has been contracted out to private companies that run these unreliable, hackable electronic voting machines. Front page story, today's New York Times. Cyber Incorporated of Greenwood Village, Colorado, is the entity that certifies electronic voting machines under the Help America Vote Act, I believe. And this laboratory that has tested most of the nation's electronic voting systems has been temporarily barred from approving new machines after federal officials found it wasn't following quality control procedures and could not document that it was conducting all the required tests. What a house of cards. Our electoral system has been built on over these past two or three cycles. And I've never had great confidence in electronic voting machines. In fact, I think they're downright dangerous. And now we find out that the entity that's supposed to certify these machines is not even certifiable itself, or maybe certifiable, but in the other meaning of the term.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote, it isn't fair. I took a stand, doesn't anybody care? They lost my vote, now do you know where did my ballot go?
Well, ask Diebold, they know. And that's Ellen Buxtell. She's from Florida. She was on our show once, and I love that tune. And Florida is the scene of not one, not two, not three, but four contested congressional seatings. Now, the best known is Christine Jensen, who is was shy 366 or 368 votes in the final certified tally. And only 18,000 votes were missing from her congressional district, from precincts that were likely to have delivered plurality to her. And to the credit of the Democratic Party, at long last, they appear to understand the threat to our democracy and the party's survival posed by stolen elections. And they're not just rubber stamping at this time. They are permitting challenges to be lodged in these four congressional races from Florida, and in at least two of them, the Feeney-Curtis race and the Jennings-Buchanan race, I think there is a possibility that the Democrats will ultimately prevail, and the best result would be a new election being ordered. We'll follow that, but there is some promise there. We'll talk more with Brad about it tomorrow afternoon here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lisa in Eureka, you're on the air. Thanks for your call in the Free Speed Zone.
Oh, thank you, Peter. How are you today?
Doing okay, thanks. I'm feeling a little buoyed. I feel that there is some hope, and I feel that we've still got a whole lot of work to do.
I couldn't agree with you more. I have two favors to ask you.
All right.
One, stop calling it a war on Iraq. It's not a war on anything. It's not a war on terrorism. It's not a war. It's an occupation. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, quit calling them insurgents. They're just like you and me and all of the other Americans who fought against the people of England coming to the United States and trying to take away our civil rights. So there's nothing insurgent about them. They're people who are there protecting their land.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't take this personally, but have I recently used those terms?
You kind of use them in general context.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's not anything, you know, you don't come out and say, and those insurgents. It's
right.
Mostly in general context and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I've heard it as you're reading articles and things.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is that people are using these phrases and they believe them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate it, and I want you to call me on this and call me about it whenever you hear me stray in that sense, because I do try very hard to choose my words and to avoid using the language and the talking points of the Republicans. So I do typically describe it as an occupation. I also call it an elective war, because we have gone to war, whether you want to characterize it that way or not.
It was a forced war, because nobody elected to go there except this administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, I think we're on the same page. And,
yeah.
And the thing that really has bugged me over the last few weeks since the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group report came out was hearing Democrats, including Speaker Pelosi, we can say that now, use the term a new way forward, because it doesn't mean anything. And it is a vague phrase intended to cover all possible options, including this ridiculous, irrational proposal that appears to be gelling in the White House to add more troops to this mess.
I just want to know where they're pulling them from. I mean, National Guard is supposed to take care of the nation, not a foreign country. I mean, where else can you pull them from? There's going to have to be a draft. There has to be. Where else do they come from?
Well, it is interesting that Bush wants to have it all, and, you know, he appears to be opposed to a draft, and Gates said that at his confirmation hearings. And you are correct that we do not have the resources ready to mobilize, and it really is going to be on the shoulders of National Guard and reservists, who will be extended again or again and again to achieve the kind of body count or troop count that the president is looking for.
And then my final point is, and this is something that I really hope that this new session of Congress addresses, is we've got $5 in our pockets, and we're charging a couple thousand every day. You know, I mean, this country really needs to stop this. Balanced budget by 2012.
Yeah, wasn't that beautiful coming out of Bush yesterday?
I couldn't.
Let's put
it.
Politics behind us and do the work.
We'll have
of the
a balanced
folks.
Budget by 2012. Yeah,
that's a
twisted
joke.
I think the man's
joke.
Doing coke again.
Well, I don't know about that. Thank you, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks for calling. 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to join this conversation, 888-573-8372. Is it Valentine's Day? This just came in. Dear Peter, I must confess I'm a Mike Malloy girl all the way, but I wish to express my admiration and respect for the incredible and professional show you produce. It takes a lot for me to even bear listening to anyone other than Mike, excluding Randy Rhodes, of course. But ever since Mike came to Nova M, I've been catching bits and pieces of you. And lo and behold, those bits and pieces have evolved into a daily required dose. So to that end, I wish to send you my kudos and accolades. Well, thank you. And that is signed Mary Fernandez in West Haven, Connecticut. Great to have you listening. And give us a call, Mary. I'd love to talk with you. More of your calls coming up right after a break here on the Free Speech Zone portion of the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works.
Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Giving you an update on your ride through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Southbound 17 at Glenwood Drive. Both the southbound lanes have been open following an earlier big rig accident. This was actually an overturned big rig. Expect slower than normal traffic from the Lexington Reservoir. Santa Cruz Mountains northbound 17. Just after the summit, we had an injury accident involving an overturned armored car truck. So this accident has been cleared. Traffic moving well at the scene, but maybe much slower than normal coming out of the Santa Cruz area. Santa Cruz Mountain 17 at Laurel Curve. We have an accident blocking the left-hand lane, so be aware of that. Also, you're going to see Santa Clara Light Rail. Oh, I'm sorry about that. That's not quite right. Boulder Creek, Bear Creek Road at Highway 9. We have an overturned car in one of the lanes. CHP is on scene. Tow truck en route to clear that on out. Open, how American Express serves small business. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. Once again, that's 1-800-NOW-OPEN. I'm Dio Traffic, KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls coming up in just a second here in the Free Speech Zone. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. But it's time for the fictional portion of our broadcast day.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend.
This dispatch comes from Andy Borowitz, available online at BorowitzReport.com. And it reads, Bush to announce exit strategy from reality. Plans complete withdrawal from his senses by year end. President George W. Bush has been working around the clock to put the finishing touches on a speech to the American people in which he will announce a comprehensive exit strategy from reality. White House aides have confirmed. When reports emerged that the president was considering deploying an additional surge of troops in Iraq against the advice of military experts and overwhelming public sentiment, many in Washington suspected the move was part of a larger plan to withdraw from reality entirely. But not until spokesperson Tony Snow addressed reporters today did the White House officially confirm that the president was about to announce an exit strategy from the land of rational thought. The president never intended to occupy the world of reality indefinitely, Tony Snow said. He's planning a new way forward, and that way forward is a one-way ticket to Fantasyland. Moments after Snow announced Bush's plan to unveil an exit strategy from reality, members of the press corps started peppering him with questions about a deadline by which the president will have totally taken leave of his senses. And the White House spokesman said the president refused to set a formal timetable for his withdrawal from reality, but added it was realistic to assume that Bush's exit from the real world would be complete by year's end. It helps that he's 90% of the way there already. All right, up next, it's Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter. That last lady, she had a few things that bothered her, like calling this a war when it's an occupation.
Yeah.
I have one to add to her list.
Okay.
Pelosi's commission recently, somewhere in the wording, is they want to implement all of the recommendations of the 9/11 commission.
Right.
First of all, that 9/11 commission is no commission. They were told where to look and what to find. It is an invalid commission, and without the sworn testimony of the two principals, Bush and Cheney, you have nothing. And then the firemen who were the last ones out of the building who heard explosions, their testimonies were sealed for 30 years. Now, what the hell is this? And also, Death Squad John Negroponte become an assistant secretary of state will have to pass a senatorial, they have to vote on his position.
That's right. It's a confirmation post.
Okay. Now, Congolese is about to be sent back to Aunt Jemima's desk in the back room.
Wait a minute. Let's not get racial.
Okay, well, she's about to be put back in the receptionist chair. John Negroponte, he's about as much qualified to be an ambassador as Bolton. Him and Kissinger both need to be tried for war crimes and genocide. Why can't we get rid of these Reagan reprobates? How many more funerals do we have to go through to be rid of these people?
Well, you raise a good question, and I share your concern about Negroponte. It's about time the Democrats put a stop to this guy
and sent him into retirement. Dare we hope that Bush is about to be Pelosi-ized or Pelosi-whipped?
All right, Ben, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bob and Eureka, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Okay, thanks.
I was listening yesterday, and I found you and I have something very strongly in common. We're both final years conscientious objectors of the Vietnam War.
What was your draft lottery number?
I was number 43 in the final draft,
uh-huh.
and they took up to 49 that year. And the difference between us is my draft classification is 4-0 rather than 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went into the Navy and... Ben got out as a conscientious objector.
I see.
Towards the end of the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an interesting conversation in a bar this afternoon that started out okay until I brought up the war and the guy turned out to be a Republican.
Okay.
And I was blowing him off. And so he said something about if we had good Republicans in there. Now, this is their new mantra. Since before the election, they were all good Republicans, right? Now that they've lost, oh, we want real Republicans. So I asked him, who would that be? And he said, oh, Richard Nixon.
Oh.
Yeah, at that point, I walked out of the bar. I just, goodbye, you know. No, I just liked out from that. And you can tell the guy was a little chicken hawk weasel, you know. Mm-hmm. Pencil neck, nothing, who'd never faced anything except a problem from somebody that he put in the wrong mutual fund in his life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And these people, I just don't understand how they cannot understand that Richard Nixon was an arch criminal. And I'm going to say this for sure, Gerald Ford was an arch criminal. He was an arch criminal. You know he went in there with the deal to do that pardon. You absolutely know it no matter what he said.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, the single bullet theory.
Yes?
Come on. Gerald Ford was a criminal.
Well, and as we've pointed out, and we're going to talk about this more with Robert Perry in our first hour tomorrow on the program, Gerald Ford was one of the people who tried to impeach Earl Warren.
Earl Warren, yeah, there's
and
another one.
Then he ended up
he ended up
serving with Warren on the Warren Commission that lied about the Kennedy assassination.
Exactly, and ruining Warren's name in the process.
Yeah.
By putting Warren's name on a false report.
Mm-hmm.
It just slipped.
Well, you should call me. You should call me before you go to the bar, Bob, not after.
No, I didn't. I was eating. It was ginger ale. If I had been drinking, the guy would have been on the deck.
All right, Bob. Thanks for your call today.
Okay, Peter. Bye-bye.
Nice to talk with you. More of your calls coming up as we continue in the free speed zone. 888-5. Peter B. is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. If you have an idea for a topic or guest you'd like to hear on the Peter B. Collins Show, drop an email to our excellent producer, matt@peterbcollins.com. And the website's back up and working. No white vans circling my studios right now either.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunedaRealEstate.com.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With Pilar. With Pilar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540, KRXA.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue they could be. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 2 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls coming up here in the Free Speed Zone at 888-5-PETER-B. Big parties in Washington tonight celebrating the Democratic takeover of the House and the Senate. We've got Dick and W. on the line because they don't have anything else to do.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown?
Yes, this is the day of the change of the guard in Washington, D.C. A lady from San Francisco was named Speaker of the House, and a dude from Nevada has been named the leader of the Senate. They're both Democrats. And Dick and W. join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show right now. W., how you feeling with, you know, the power slipping through your fingers?
Let me tell you something, Peter. It's a new year. The world has changed. It's time to put politics aside and go fishing.
Now, wait a minute. If you put politics aside, you don't have diddly.
Well, that's incorrect. I have a lot. You see, I'm coming near the end of my time as President of the United States, and so what I'm trying to do is clear my desk of all the old stacks of paper that I have a hard time getting through anyway. I'm trying to think about my future. I'm taking some improv classes. I'm, you know, thinking
mm-hmm.
a lot. So, you know, let the Democrats hold the reins for a while.
Now, you had to spend your whole holiday break thinking, even if you do drop all those G's, you had to be thinking really hard.
Yeah, but when you think without the G's, it actually saves you time.
Yeah. I believe that. Now, Dick, you had to spend part of your holiday in Crawford. Was that a supreme sacrifice?
It's not something I really look forward to, but, you know, sometimes I got to go down there and wrangle that brush myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's because Dick sucks at horseshoes. He can't throw a horseshoe for crap.
It's an inferior game, Mr. President. It's not a game for men.
Yeah, the NRA doesn't take a position on horseshoes, do they?
Well, we take it usually in a crouch position.
Now, Dick, you're the hardcore, real politic, cynical son of a bitch there. And I wanted to know how it was today that you had to swear in all those new Democrats in the Senate.
Well, if you notice, you see the pictures, I got my fingers crossed behind my back as I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And they think they're putting their hand on a Bible. Actually, it's just it's an old Sears catalog.
I see. And is it true that you kind of under your breath slipped an F-bomb to Senator Jim Webb, the newbie from Virginia, as he was sworn in?
Oh, no. If you look real closely and do some, some lip reading and, lip syncing there, you can see that I'm saying fine. It starts with an F, but it doesn't finish with a K. It's really, the press is blowing that all out of proportion.
I see. Now, W., I understand that you spent 2 hours today, and it's unclear from the report, either you were playing video games with Maliki from Iraq, or it was a secure video link. Which was it?
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah? Does he have a PS3 and a Wii?
Well, when you get to a governmental situation, what you're basically doing, you know that a lot of these video games are made with the same technology that was used in war simulation games and things of that nature.
Right.
Like pilots who are practicing how to learn how to fly. The games that you now get in the market are basically those games that we have used to train our fighter pilots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. Anybody could just walk in off a street and buy a flight simulation game that would basically really teach them how to fly.
Uh-huh.
So since 9/11, we've really made sure to train as many people who want to fly planes as possible that they can have access to that technology.
Yeah, and does this include the simulation of landing the planes or just kind of getting them up and flying them?
All of it. You can buy what they like to call add-ons,
uh-huh.
where actually you can actually have nuclear devices attached to your PS3 or what have you, and you could actually drop a nuclear bomb on some son of a bitch if you wanted to. But back to what was happening, we had a direct ISDN link-up to the Pentagon and to all their simulators and game mock-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, if you push the wrong button, if you push the right-click button on your computer, if you're playing through your computer, and then if you have a hand like a joystick device, and you push down on a button and tweak your joystick, you actually could be moving actual U.S. troops.
I see. Now
it's really crazy. It's awesome. You smoke a little reefer, and you're just really. It's like better than The Sims.
All right. Now what I'm trying to figure out is if you guys have been using these video games for a simulation of this cockamamie idea of adding more troops, the so-called surge and escalate or whatever it's called. Dick, have you run these scenarios through on the video games, and do they produce a result that defies all your critics?
Our little surge and destroy simulations have shown us that there's no way that the Republicans can lose in 2008.
Really?
Yeah. We've extrapolated mathematically, and we've taken a couple of those new Wii machines. We've taken two of those Wii machines.
Yeah.
Wee all the way home, and we're going to win in 08.
All right. Well, finally, I want to ask each of you gentlemen about the grisly sequence last Friday, American time, when Saddam Hussein was transferred to Iraqi custody, and then he was executed. And I've noticed that a lot of people on television have been talking about the manner and the tone and the taunting remarks, and they think that's all deplorable. But I think the very fact that he was executed is deplorable, and it's going to martyr this man. I heard in Libya they are already developing some sort of a statue of Saddam being hanged. Didn't you guys get it that you have made a martyr out of this guy and that the whole idea of executing him was wrong, not the method that was used? W first.
We did not execute him. The Iraqi people executed him. But I'm pissed off about this statue you're talking about. We're going to have to go tear down a goddamn another statue. Well, I don't have enough time in the world, in my day, to go around worrying about all these statues. But I'll take that. I'll take that son of a bitch statue right down right now.
All right, W. Dick. I'm sorry, I get you guys confused.
Yeah, it is easy to get us confused, isn't it? We see that by martyring Saddam. We're just making the targets of opportunity step forward and present themselves a little clearer for us, that's all.
Hmm. All right. It doesn't make any sense to me, but none of this has so far. Dick and Debbie, I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking my call today.
Hey, God bless America.
And nobody else.
Okay, thank you, guys, I guess. That's Dick and W right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Up next, we've got Larry in Aptos. Hello, Larry. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Peter, you forgot to ask W there if you can download the program on the Internet.
He wouldn't know the answer anyway.
Hey, speaking of Condoleezza Rice and running for president, Rove would think that running her would be great because if anybody didn't want to vote for her, that could be construed as racist.
Yeah.
And that's probably what they're, I'm saying they might try that. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't put it past them. They would run her so that they could play the race card. If they don't run her, of course, and say Obama runs on the other side, they could just, get the corporate talking heads on the media saying, we're not ready as a nation to have a black man as a president. And that wouldn't be considered racist.
Well,
by the corporate media.
Yeah, it's all very interesting because, first of all, the Republican Party does not have an African-American base. So Rice would not be able to really win based on the color of her skin and, you know, her ethnic derivation. But I honestly do not see a real future in national politics, electoral politics, for Rice. She's never run for any office whatsoever.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a geographical base. You know, she was last at Stanford University, but she didn't grow up in California. She doesn't have a political base to tap into here. And so I really don't see it. I don't see that she has traction or even the potential to develop traction. And given that she has embraced the president, sorry for that choice of words, yeah. Barbara. But, you know, the way that she has endorsed every mistaken policy of this administration makes it very hard for me to believe that Americans would find her electable. And what are her positions on any issues besides foreign policy? You don't know.
You really don't know. She's never talked about, say, the abortion issue as a woman. Or even, well, affirmative action, I kind of have a feeling that she's against it, even though she may have taken advantage of it herself. I'm not so sure about that. The other thing I wanted to mention, though, is about Ford and how that was covered by the corporate media. And again, you didn't hear anything about the fact that he tried to have... what's his name impeached?
Earl Warren.
Earl Warren, the Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
And Bush got up there, Bush's dad, and had a mentioned the Warren Commission, and he got a crack in there on the conspiracy theorists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the corporate media, I'm just sickened by them because, you know, they have the loudspeaker. And now they've probably convinced so many Americans that Gerald Ford was such a great guy and he healed the nation. And even Carter yesterday said something about him healing the nation. And, you know, I like Carter and, you know, I like the book that he wrote. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's kind of standing up for the Palestinians. But, you know, he played along, and, you know, I guess he had to. I mean, it's the guy's funeral. You can't say anything negative at a funeral.
And, Larry, maybe it's a karma thing, because I have a great deal of respect for Jimmy Carter.
Mm.
However, I have already rehearsed in my mind. I'd love to get him on the show. We have an invitation out, but, you know, we're pretty low on the food chain for national media for a guy like him.
Mm.
And, sure, I applaud the courage that he's shown since he left office and many different projects and initiatives that he has taken on. But I cannot forget that this was the first president in my lifetime who articulated a foreign policy based on human rights and then proceeded to support the invasion of the covert actions with the Mujahideen in Afghanistan against the Soviets. He allowed the Shah to come to this country and created the context for the hostage taking at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran that brought down his presidency. And finally, he cozied up with Ferdinand Marcos.
Yeah.
At the time that the Philippines had decided that he had to go, here was the U.S. backing him and propping him up.
Now, I
would love to hear Jimmy Carter talk about those issues, and likewise, I expect at his funeral, those inconvenient truths will not be raised.
Did he put Saddam Hussein on and Iraq on a terrorist list at that time, too, though? Which was reversed by Reagan several years later.
I think that may be true. I can't say for sure, but I think you might be right.
Yeah, and then again, he had the solar panels on the White House, too, which Reagan took down.
Yeah, I mean, again, the records of both of these people are mixed, and I have come to accept the pardon that Ford issued to Nixon. I will never believe that there was no deal. But I think that it was a convenient way to get Watergate behind us, and I still don't approve of it, but I've learned to accept it.
Yeah.
And so I believe I do have a balanced view of Gerald Ford, but I'm not willing to just go with the saccharine reconstructed history and forget the things that are in the negative column of the Ford legacy.
Yeah, and that's what they did on TV this past week, basically.
Yes, they did. Thank you, Larry. You've got to go to a break here. More of your calls coming up next. You can join this conversation right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, kick off your new year by listening to one of the top experts on investing in real estate, James Ross. He's president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings and will be on the show sharing his strategies on how to build your wealth through real estate investments. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
It is your final look at Central Coast traffic. We're going to start in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Watch out for a stall. Southbound 17 before Redwood Estates Road, stall conked out in the right-hand lane. Boulder Creek, Bear Creek Road at Highway 9, an earlier accident has been cleared, so smooth through there. Salinas, Abbott Street, west of 101. Watch out, there's a large tree branch blocking the northbound lane. In Carmel, southbound 1 at Rio Road, we have an accident. It's actually a big rig that hit a light pole, and the light pole fell down onto another vehicle, so the left turn lane is blocked by this accident. CHP, as well as a tow truck and crews en route to pick up that tree on the way. This report is brought to you by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small business. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. As I mentioned, coming up tomorrow in our first hour, we'll be joined by Robert Perry. He's an investigative journalist who's been at it for over 30 years. And we'll talk about that legacy of Gerald Ford. Honest and accurate. And Jake joins us from Arcata this afternoon. Hello, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not bad.
You know, I find it interesting that the last caller brought up the possibility of a Condoleezza Rice candidacy for the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but Condoleezza Rice, her political future is about as bleak as Jeb Bush or Rudy Giuliani's. You know,
well, to be fair to Larry, I introduced the idea as a comment that came from Bob Furtick at Democrats.com. He sent out an email today regarding the shuffle with Negroponte taking not a lateral move but a clear demotion from intelligence czar to number two at state. And the theory offered by Furtick, which I honestly don't buy, is that Rice brought him in as deputy so that she can resign at some point to run for president, and then he would get to get the title of Secretary of State for the you know, the last year or so of the Bush 2 term. I honestly, you know, don't see that as a likely scenario, but I mentioned it, and I don't want to tag Larry with it.
Okay, well, I think a more likely scenario might actually be Dick Cheney resigning as vice president and Condoleezza Rice being promoted to take his place.
Now, that's very interesting. Yeah.
That might be a possibility, because, you know, we all know that Bush and Condoleezza have a very close relationship, if you know what I mean.
Well, according to the tabloids, it's warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, to say the least. Also, I have another question for you. Dylan Avery, the guy who made the film Loose Change,
right.
I was wondering, since, you know, apparently in the next few months it's going to be hitting the theaters finally.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently it's coming out to the theaters in the next few months. I was wondering if you're going to maybe have Dylan Avery back on to talk about Loose Change.
I'll be happy to. Yeah,
great.
I think that he's a bright guy. I enjoyed talking with him before, and I applaud the work they did. I have my quibbles with Loose Change, but some of the sequences in there, particularly the animation related to the Pentagon, the depictions and the slow-mo footage of the towers coming down, very, very powerful analysis, and I give those guys a lot of credit.
Well, absolutely, and the visuals taken straight from the networks that morning on 9/11. You know, it's not like this is anything other than what we actually saw that morning. A lot of us did see this footage that has been basically thrown down a black hole
yeah.
in America. People can see this footage at loosechange911.com. Like you said, the Pentagon, we have the original shots of the hole in the Pentagon before the collapse, 16 feet across, no plane wreckage.
Yep.
Okay, we have the footage at Shanksville, no plane wreckage.
Yep.
We have the slow motion shots of the towers coming down where you can clearly see explosions taking place. You know, this is footage that if you have not seen it, you must see it. If you want to have any idea what really happened on 9/11, go check it out at loosechange911.com.
I'm trying to remember. I read so much stuff. Over the last couple of days, I read a sequence, an analysis of the events of 9/11 again. And one of the issues raised, this is from the point of view of Richard Clark, was that Dick Cheney thought that he had ordered Flight 93 shot down. There was confusion in the bunker. And I don't know, you know, what the truth is. I just mention that because it's an interesting little tidbit attributed to Cheney via Richard Clark, that Cheney thought he had given the order to shoot that plane down, and he thought, in fact, that one or two passenger airliners had been shot down under his authority. So there's, again, much more to learn about what really happened, and I underscore that those of us who ask the questions about the official story do not need to prove what actually happened to prove that the official story ain't true. Jake, right. Thanks for your call. And one more item. I just wanted to clear my name in Humboldt County. You may have heard the news over the holidays that a guy named Peter Collins was arrested for being the ringleader and the inside guy on a big scam that fleeced about $100,000 or more from the Indian casino in Trinidad.
Right, right.
And that was Peter D. Collins. No relation.
Well, hey, if we can clear that up, can we clear up the one about Henry Paulson? Was the Treasury Secretary actually arrested or not?
We haven't found anything further on that, so we think the report may have been erroneous.
Right, got it. Okay. Thanks a lot, Peter.
You bet, Jake. Now to Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the air.
Greetings.
Hi.
Hey, I'm going to be a broken record here. I think that everybody that writes their congressman and tell them to index the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Get a drumbeat going for that. It's ridiculous that we go through this charade every, should be every year, maybe every 2 years, to keep people up pace with inflation.
Hey, Ed, can I just, I don't want to get too personal with you or expose you to our audience beyond your desire to be exposed, but I just think that it's really, it's to your credit that you are a retired airline pilot who made good money working for the airline over the years, and that you still have a sense of what it's like for an average person, or particularly a young person entering the job market, trying to make it on the minimum wage. That says a lot about you.
Well, I have children, so I can see it through their eyes a little bit. And I have a son that's in the airline industry now, and it is not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I always
Ed, hold on a second, because on my screen here it says Larry thinks that a minimum wage increase is wrong. Let's put you both here together. Larry, you there?
Yeah, hey, thank you, Peter B., for letting me on. It's impeccable timing on this.
Now, why do you think there's something wrong with increasing the minimum wage?
Well, first of all, when the minimum wage gets increased, it brings these minimum wage workers into a higher tax bracket, which means they make more money. I think a more pertinent way to raise the minimum wage is to take less of these people's money in taxes. You know, the government's going to raise their taxes, raise their minimum wage, but then guess what? They also take more of that money they're earning and more money out of the pocket of the small guy and into the pocket of big government. And furthermore, I find it ironic that old Chappaquiddick Ted Kennedy, the guy who, you know, paid off a family to cover up a drunken driving murder.
And that's really relevant here.
I'm sorry?
That's really relevant to this discussion.
I know it's not, but, you know, it's
an ad hominem attack.
Bashing the Republicans and praising this guy when he's, you know, paid off a family to cover up a murder, you know. They're all rosy and peachy as they appear to be.
Larry, you undermine your own case with a trivial attack on Kennedy like that.
But as far as the monetary taxation thing factually correct?
You were starting to make a little sense.
Well, let me rebut that, Peter.
Go ahead. You got 20 seconds.
I made big bucks, and I didn't mind paying the taxes because I was paying, you know, getting the money that I could pay the taxes, and it's still a percentage of what I make. So if you make more money, you're still going to get more money in your pocket.
Yeah, and you have the ability under the earned income to regain some of that. Sorry, guys, we're out of time. Larry, thanks for the call. Ed, thank you for the call. I'm Peter B. Collins, and they're still talking.
Until we meet.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush says he'll announce his new Iraq strategy sometime next week. Will it include more troops?
One thing is for certain, I will want to make sure that the mission is clear and specific and can be accomplished.
Today, a scheduled one-hour video conference with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki ran nearly twice as long. The White House says they talked about the importance of having a sufficient force in Baghdad. The U.S. military leadership will be changing. CBS News has learned that General George Casey, the top American commander in Iraq, will be replaced, along with his boss, General John Abizaid, the head of Central Command.
Clearly, there's dissatisfaction in the administration, but in the White House, with the conduct of the war, including with the conduct by the military in Iraq.
Dan Gurray of the Lexington Institute. General Casey's replacement will be Lieutenant General David Petraeus, who's considered an expert in counterinsurgency techniques. On Capitol Hill today, the House was called to order for the first time by its first female speaker, Nancy Pelosi.
It is a moment for which we have waited over 200 years.
She's pledging partnership, not partisanship, but also pledges to enact key elements of the Democratic agenda in the first 100 hours the House is in session. And CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports partisanship has already flared in debate over ethics legislation.
The proposals seek to end the far too cozy connection between lobbyists and members of Congress. It would strengthen the ban on gifts, end the free travel underwritten by lobbyists and all that travel on corporate jets. It also has new disclosure rules designed to stop members from secretly slipping special interest measures into bills without saying who is asking for them or why.
A CBS News poll finds Americans cautiously optimistic.
49% of Americans expect that this Congress will accomplish more than Congress usually does in a two-year period, but some people see problems ahead. A third thinks this Congress will accomplish less than usual.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit. Two people are dead. Several homes in Iberia Parish, Louisiana, are demolished after a storm apparently spawned tornadoes. Earlier, three children were reported missing, but authorities now say everyone's accounted for. In the snowbound plains, helicopters are carrying